this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
Let us pray. Father, we really want to bless you because you are a mighty God. You are a dependable God. You are a very, very reliable Father. Lord, we thank you because what you say you will do, you will surely do. It may be beyond our imagination. We may doubt it, but you still bring it to pass. And that's what we are celebrating today. The mustard seed you planted several years back is becoming a very, very big tree. And several lives, several institutions, several communities are passing on that mustard seed and the big tree. Be thou exalted forever, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you because this is not where we are going yet. You are taking us higher than this. And your grace that brought us here, we take up to that target in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this morning again. You have brought us into your presence. Thank you for the past 1 week. The mercies, the grace, the intervention in our lives at various stages. And here again this morning, we are happy to come and celebrate you, to come and worship you. Be thou exalted forever in the name of Jesus. Father, once again, we are here this morning. We want to hear from you. Speak to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Talk to our heart, Father, in the name of Jesus. And as you will be speaking, speak to us in a language we will understand in the name of Jesus. Unfold your word very deeply to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be unto your name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Let us be seated. This meeting started since yesterday with the workers, and the message that God gave us started since yesterday, and the pastor has titled it The Call, The Journey, and The Urgency. So this is just part two of it that you are going to hear this morning. But I don't know whether this second service we may add another segment to it. And we took our text from Genesis 27. So let's open to Genesis 27. And I will read from here. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his elder son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." So that is the passage we started yesterday. And like I said, there is one statement that is very, very critical, which we are calling down to. It must be a kernel or a key, because it's a point of prayer for us. The demand of Isaac is here: prepare me a tasty food. Prepare me a tasty food. Yesterday we read that in different passages. Others call it savory meat. Others call it, make me a savory meat, such as I love. Other version, some call it appetizing food. Others call it, they describe it. So when you get back, read it. The critical issue is that God is demanding something special. That is it. God is asking for something higher than what you have been offering. And when issues like this come, God is about to take you into a higher level in His plan and purpose for you. Yesterday I said, our call is a journey. We are on a journey. And at every stage in that particular journey, there is a spot. And each spot has its own peculiar message. It has its own peculiar word. And so, you must be diligent enough to hear Him, Lord, what are you saying to me at this time? Don't allow the Christian walk to become a religion in your hands. Once your walk with God becomes routine, once it becomes a formality, it's no more a spiritual walk. It has become a religious walk. And already almost about 70% of churchgoers are in that category. Don't allow your coming to the presence of God to be a social thing, like a club. No. Let it be a spiritual exercise. It is very, very critical. So as the message is coming that give me a savory meat, give me an appetizing food. I told them yesterday that the first prayer point is for you to decode what that means to you as a person. You need to find out, God, what is it that you are telling me? What do you want me to know? One other thing I quickly want to say, you know, if you read verse 3, it says, now then, get your weapons, your quiver, and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild games for me. That is very significant. I didn't talk about that yesterday and this morning. Isaac was not telling Esau, I will give you money to go and buy a bow and arrow for you to do the work. No. He said, take your weapons. That means he already had the weapons. Take your arrow and your bow and go. Early this year, the Lord spoke to me. You know, we also run some discipleship work. You know, every 2 months, we gather workers, we gather brethren, we disciple them, you know. And God said that this year is discipling unto Acts. All of us, we are in form of one discipleship or the other. But discipleship is not forevermore. There must be a graduation. And the graduation we are talking about, you must graduate into performance. You must graduate into act. The act of apostles that we are reading emanated from the Gospels. When those disciples were with Jesus for 3.5 years, the next thing we were reading was the act. So when Isaac said, get your bow and arrow, those are the equipment you have been receiving. Those are the discipleship you have been receiving. Those coming here every Sunday during the week, impartation service, Holy Ghost this and all that, they are equipment. They are equipping your life. But they are not just for decoration. You know, I have said that by His grace, I will be more frequent here from now in Jesus' name. Some of us, when they ask you a question, again, some of my statement may contradict your theology. Some of us, when we ask you and said, what's the ultimate of your serving God or your prayer and so on, the quick answer is to make heaven. Yeah. That is it. But sincerely speaking, that's not it. We are to represent Him fully here on earth. If you read John chapter 17, Jesus said, "For their sake, I sanctified myself. For their sake, I did not meddle with the world." It was not for the sake of heaven. It was not for the sake of any other. He said, "For their sake, because of this assignment." Let me tell you one thing today, my brothers. By His grace and by His mercy, all of us will make heaven. I said, by His grace and mercy, we will make heaven. Why am I saying that? Making heaven is not by your own making. It's not your effort. It's by faith. By faith in the Son of God. By faith in the Son of God, that He died for me. He suffered for me. He resurrected for me. He's coming back. That is the faith that saved you. Every other thing you do is an appreciation of that. That's why the Bible says, "It is not by works, lest any man should do what? Should boast." It is by the grace of God. But, and it is not even your consecration that takes you to heaven. No, we are making a lot of mistakes. So, what is the need for our consecration then? Why do we need to consecrate ourselves? Jesus said, "Because of them, I sanctify myself." Because of them. In other words, because, so that this one can become what you want them to become. Because of the assignment you are giving me, I consecrate myself. Your consecration is not because of heaven per se. It's because of the assignment you have given. Are you hearing me? Your consecration, your daily consecration, is not so that you can make heaven. By His grace, you will make it by faith. But for you to represent the Lord here, for you to demonstrate His grace, His authority here, you need to consecrate yourself. It is not because of heaven. So that you can speak and represent God. Let me give you an example. Some of you that are scientists, you know, if you are a scientist and you work in the laboratory, what type of water do we use in the labs? What is the definition of distilled water? Somebody should just stand up and tell me. I know many of you said it, distilled water is okay, but let somebody define what a distilled water is for me. Yes? It's a water is also colorless, but distilled water is pure. What do you mean by pure? Yes, give me a chemical definition. When you say a water is pure, what does it mean chemically? Or in chemistry, what does it mean? It does not have. So what molecule does it now have? What are the others? Yes! A pure water is only water that the only element you will find is hydrogen and oxygen, H2O. That's a pure water. Pure water is different from clean water. A water may be clean, but that does not mean it is pure.
You can drink clean water, and we drink all the water we are drinking, they are clean, but they are not pure. They have other particles. That's why when you take the water you are drinking, the ragolis or whatever, they are clean. But when you take it to the laboratory to do an experiment, are you going to get the correct result? No. You can never get the correct result. Because the particles inside those clean water, they are more than hydrogen and oxygen. And so if you are supposed to use a water that is only hydrogen and oxygen, but now you are using the one that contains hydrogen, oxygen, sugar, carbohydrate, that contain all that, you are not going to get the correct result. For some of you who did a little bit of titration in your secondary school chemistry, you know, you want to titrate acid and base, and so you want to reach the end point. You know, some of us, because you didn't clean the beaker, the container very well, it contains some impurities. You have put your acid there. You are now running your base. Ideally, by the time you run for about 7 or 8 something, the color should change. But some of you keep on running. The color you say, color you change. Color you change. It's because there is already impurities there. If there is impurity, you won't get the correct product. And that's what it means. The consecration of your life, so that your life can produce the correct products. Are you hearing me? It's not heaven. When you get to heaven, that is a place of rest. It's a place of rejoicing. There is no sorrow in heaven. There is no weeping. It's everlasting joy. But while you are here on earth, to represent God, to demonstrate who God is, you need to live a consecrated life. You need to live a consecrated life. Because if you are diluted, your product will be affected. That is if there is any product at all. Yes. Let somebody read for me very quickly. Genesis chapter 6. I want to show you the depth of what we are talking about. Genesis chapter 6 from verse 1. Okay, maybe I will read from here. When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Verse 3. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever. For he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. Verse 4. The Nephilims were on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. Verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that have made man. Now, if you read that passage, for those of you who are Bible scholars, there is confusion in that passage from verse 1 to verse 2 to verse 3. They are not connected. I know some of you, you don't read deeply to that. You just read it. But if you are reading it, verse 1 is saying one thing, verse 2 is saying another thing. Verse 3 is saying another thing. There is no connection. Maybe it has never occurred to you like that. Read it. In verse 1, he said, when men began to increase in number on earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Is that not a good news? You are not answering me. Daughters of men were multiplying. Good news, Abby. They were beautiful. Good news. They saw the sons of God. Wonderful. And they were married. Is that not a good news? But look at verse 3. In verse 3, he said, then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever. Ibinu niye. That I will not fight with you. Kilo fight jambe niye. What is causing the contention? What is annoying God? Verse 1 and 2. Sons of men, daughters of Kinikon, they were married, they were beautiful. So verse 3 said, my spirit will not contend with you. So what is annoying God? If verse 1 and 2 were okay, and on and that. Another verse said, when sons of God met with daughters of men, I think verse 4, he said, children were born unto them, and they were heroes. The Bible, you see, my own say heroes. But the next verse, he said, God said he was displeased to have created men. If the products were heroes, why is God annoyed? I may not have enough time to explain to you, but there were language difficulty here. Interpretations were not perfect here. And I'll tell you why. But in a simple explanation, when the Bible says, a lot of theology has come to this chapter, lots argument, but in a simple way. When they said the sons, the daughters of men, and sons of God, different realm, those are different realms. Daughters of men, one realm. Sons of God, another realm. So, when different realms, in a simple way, in Yoruba, I call it mix, in English, I would say it's a mix-up. When there is a mix-up, when spiritual meets with carnal, it's an aberration that will come out. I'm trying to explain to you the reason for your consecration. Are you hearing me? When your consecration is affected, in that chapter, daughters of men is simply talking about carnality. Sons of God is talking about spirituality. When spirituality mixes with carnality, it is an aberration. The people, that passage that they were talking about, men, heroes, that children were born unto them, that they were heroes. In Katangpe, ni hero mben, I have checked it. I realized there was no passage that interpreted it very well. In fact, if you read Yoruba, Yoruba make it worse. Yoruba sope awon olokiki. But do you know the hero they were talking about? They were giants. Are you hearing me? When they talk about heroes, the popularity we are talking about is not popular for good. It's like monsters. Monsters. Well, if you see one monster today, you will not forget for the rest of your life. Say he's talking. You remember the bodiless head we saw some years ago in Mapo. Some bodiless heads in Mapo. So what the Bible is talking about? Giants. Giants are aberrations. Thank God we don't have giants anymore. If one giant lands in Samanda here, bam, and they say this is a giant, you will see not only children will be following him. The whole community will come out. Because giants, about some of them are about 12 feet high and large. People will be following them. They become heroes. Heroes for nothing. Hero for being monster. That's what the Bible is talking about. That was why God said he was annoyed. Because the product that was coming out of them was not glorifying God. Are you following me now? That was why God said, my spirit will not continue to strive. Because what God was expecting was different from that aberration. Monsters. It was not monsters that God was expecting. But when your consecration is compromised, that's what happens. I want you to take what I'm telling you very seriously. Very, very seriously. A lot of people have come to complain to me about here and there. I said, go back and look into your consecration. My child is this. My child, look into the consecration of your life. My husband is not behaving well. We will talk very well when we come to family convention. My husband is not behaving very well. She my gem wa la ni be ni ah mani ko si ma gem ti ma gem ba wa to si jo and you are honest to that covenant that man cannot perform well outside though to ni mo so fun e. Yes, some of you don't know your strength. You don't need to argue with your husband on gbo birin kiri eh wa kan so pe my dear ona ten lo yen wahala ma wa nbe o wahala ma ni kile kilo fe teyin e jade je ko lo. He will be embarrassed. A kan ri pe bo n se fe se ina kan lo ni. And you know the greatest thing to embarrass a man is that. That is it. Ina ma lo ni o. The lady will be saying, Mr. Rigbabu, oh yeah. Alumbo, umbo, umbo. You don't need to pray to such a man. In fact, if he sees the lady, he will be running away from her. Because lady in yaza kwe kanri, okan she ganga ni oko sing ganga on. If you are walking in covenant and your consecration is clear, you will stay. And you say, God, this is my covenant husband. And you know my consecration is done to him. Or not to embarrass him there. And God will hear you. Are you hearing me? God will hear you. You know, God has taught me this thing for years. I don't, as much as, well, I don't want to disagree with my wife. I don't want to have misunderstanding. Because if I get annoyed and the repercussion comes, I will still be the one to suffer it. So as much as possible. There are some, you know, I won't be really, at times they like to be pampered. One man, you also come along by me. We're going to say, Shebi Pastor, you're me, yeah? Oh, yeah? Why, where's it for me? Shebi, you want your loan, yeah? Bami, what about I? I can't sober you any. Occasionally, I call it women idiosyncrasies. You know, it happens everywhere. Yes. Whether Christian or no Christian, it happens. One day, we woke up in the morning. For no reason. My wife was commanding, hey, you must do this. Baking the deck, checking. He was talking. That's a long time I didn't talk because I learned my lesson. I didn't talk. At times, when my wife is to ba fe shakong ba mi, to ba fe kapa mani olon, e ma gbon kan ton so. E jo, ma be olon, pe olon, ma gbon kan ton so. But that day, she got up and she started, she was just commanding and commanding. I was disturbed. I said, kini mo wa se fo birin? And bon she jade lo ni. And once I know that I'm not happy, I don't want to go out that day. As much as I may cancel whatever I have, because I know that's already a loophole for the devil. So I remain inside. She went to wherever she went that day. She was coming back. She almost got to the house. Maybe about 5 minutes to the house. Oh, alone fell forgot her. But she lo jasiko to niye. Olorun lo yo mi lojo yen. They managed to bring her money. What happened? He said, I want to do this. I just jumped into something. I missed myself. And it was people that rescued me. I said, thank God. I quickly dressed it. I did everything. But some weeks later, he said, my dear, I am sorry. I know what caused that thing. When you maintain your consecration, you exhibit the authority of God. You don't need to start shouting. You don't need to start jumping all over the place. It's consecration. So your consecration is not because of heaven. It's so that you can demonstrate God here. That is why under no situation must you compromise it. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he was saying a lot of things in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from down. And he was saying, as the body of Jesus was, so also is your body. He said, your body is a holy body. Don't mix yourself with allot. Don't join yourself with this and so on. He said, because the way God respected the body of Jesus, he looks at the body. The body of Jesus is sacred. That is how your body too is supposed to be sacred. And once your body is sacred, all organisms respect it all. Bacteria, viruses, fungi, cancer, they respect it. You know, some of these agents, they only visit you to come and explore. Bacteria will come and say, let me try whether mara ye gbembi. Toba wonu aye, toba wonu ara ina lo ma jo. Kia kia la pada. Ibi o she wo. But ti bacteria ba denu elomiania, ibi te tu ni fertilizer. That is the purpose of your consecration. When all these agents come in there, they will not be able to endure. Some people were telling me some stories some few weeks ago. It's a popular church in Ibadan here. Along that, they said, they were just talking, they said, the two of them were members of that church. And they said, did you hear about pastor, how pastor died? No, the two of them were in a cult. They belong to the same cult. So, but they now said, did you hear about pastor's death? They said, I heard. They were now talking to him. They said, what happened? The other one confessed. He said, He said, I thought our pastor is heavy. I thought he was heavy. I didn't know he was light. And what happened in there? The pastor didn't know they belonged to a cult. But he said, when they were in a cult, one of them, it was his turn to donate. That those things are happening, don't take it for granted. It was the turn of one of them to donate. They now said, who is he going to donate? With joy, he donated his pastor. But he thought that they will not be able to do anything. Yes. Do you know Judas never knew that they can arrest Jesus? Or you didn't know? Oh, confess, fear one. I please, near share yeni. Where my Lord, my arresting Arai. And truly, one resting Arai, one Lord John Yabi. He said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. They all fell down. He could have asked them to start eating ground. But Jesus, he said, get up. I'm only asking you a question. Who are you looking for? They said, Jesus, the son of Nazareth. He said, here am I. He submitted to them. Judas never thought that Jesus could submit willingly. That was why he felt so bad. So they were talking. They said, one of them confessed, I thought pastor was heavy, that I mentioned his name. But I thought that one liri ori ekpe. So, and bunch ekpe ori pastor by ori come down immediately. That was the end. Your consecration is to manifest God. It's not just because of heaven. It's to manifest God. And that's why that's the area the enemy is concentrating so that you can compromise it. Yes, so that your body will become ordinary body. And kilo yato la ni aratie. Back here we said there is nothing. It's like every other body. So it's like But your own body is supposed to be a special body. You have a covenant with God.
In one of my dreams, one of my revelations, one of the days, I had a revelation. And it is confirming what I'm telling. Because what I'm telling you, I'm speaking from experience. I had a dream that time. I had an accident. Very terrible accident inside the dream.
So, but my body came out. My body came out of that. So I was seeing my corpse on ground. But I was now saying, I said, I've had an accident, serious accident, and that my head had been cut off. My head was cut off in that accident. So, but I was seeing it. So as I was talking, one man came with a rope. He now carried the stump of my head and the neck. He was putting it on the remaining. He sat me just like Pastor Yemi is sitting. So he was now putting that stump of head on the stump of my neck. I was already in medical school. So I now told him. I said, it's not possible again. I said, the neck is completely severed. We use the word severed. That is, it's completely cut off. I said, if it was not cut off, that it can still take. Those are medical terms. That it can still, we can graft it. And it will take. I said, but now that is completely cut. I said, the man said, I should relax. He said, I should sit down. So he was putting my head on my neck. I now told him inside that dream. I said, but make sure that my face is facing the right direction. That my face is not facing backward. So, you know. So he said, relax. So I relaxed. He now put the head and the stump on the stump of my neck. And the thing took. The thing stayed. And now did like this. The thing took. So immediately he did that, he left. And I woke up. But before I woke up, I had a message. That if you find yourself in a very helpless situation in the world, that there is hope for you. That message is not only for me, it's for all of you. If you are a child of God, no matter how hopeless the situation, if you don't compromise your consecration, you will survive. You will survive. So please, brothers and sisters, your consecration is so that you can do what God is asking you to do. So that you can show Jesus. You can show God. That is the purpose of the consecration. Here on earth. Whatever areas God is asking you. I'm emphasizing this because God is demanding. He said, bring me a tasty food. Bring me a delicacy. Give me a savory meat. And the savory meat God is demanding. He's talking about a new dimension of service. A higher dimension of service. The one that is not so common. The one that is higher than what you have been doing. And that's where the consecration comes. So don't think so that I can make heaven. No, by His grace, we will make heaven. But we need to represent Him here. If you say you are a child of God and you cannot represent Him, then there is a query mark. They said, if you see the son of a lion, he must behave like a lion. If you see the child of a elephant, he must behave like an elephant. But if you say you are a child of Jesus and you are not manifesting that, that means something is wrong somewhere. That's what calls for that consecration. And that's why that is the area where the devil will want you to compromise. So that you will not be able to bring this savory meat. So that you will not be able to represent God effectively. And the aspect I have talked about the dimensions of those savory meat in the morning. I will refer you that maybe lay your hands on that cassette. I want to talk about a new dimension which is very, very critical to what God is saying, especially in the direction
that the Holy Spirit is leading us now.
God is asking you to do, to bring an unusual service. In the morning I talk about burnt offering. That there are several types of offering in Leviticus chapter 5. Fellowship offering, gift offering, guilt offering, harvest offering, this type of offering, and burnt offering. But the highest of them all is the burnt offering. In the burnt offering, it is only God that smells the aroma. The entire animal, the entire goat or sheep is burnt completely. The priest does not eat of it. The bringer or the giver does not eat. As you are burning it, you know the beauty of meat, women will tell you that. The beauty of meat is not the appearance of that meat. It's not the appearance. It is when it's being cooked. It is when you are cooking or you are roasting. That is the time the aroma goes out. People that are eating, they will know. The same, a burnt offering, the entire offering is burnt unto the Lord. And God smells it. It brings satisfaction to God. In the morning, we talk a lot about the different dimensions of selfless labor. We talk about Jesus coming to the earth. He left glory. He left comfort and came. He became an ordinary man. He became a slave so that he can finish the work of our redemption. Some of us, God will be calling us into a higher service. A higher service where you will need to come down from the high place where you are. Where you will need to come down from your platform so that you can rescue people, so that you can rescue some, so that the gospel can reach some people, so that you can deliver. I talk about a lot of children, vagabonds, all over the place. All this NGO they are talking about and social services is the church that owns it. If these people, somebody who is not a Christian is doing NGO, who can waste his time around? And it's because we are not doing it. That's why vagabonds have taken over. But we'll take it back in the name of Jesus. All these special assignments, ministry to vagabonds, to children, hopeless, all kinds of children. I have promised Yemi that when I come back, I'll be talking to families. Do you know one thing? Thank God for your biological children that God has given unto you. The Lord will bless all of them. But beyond that, there are several children that God wants you to father, that God wants you mother. There was a case they were talking about in Ondo. Very terrible boy. The Ondo people now met, they said, where can we send this child? The church men, the leaders, they said, send him to Dr. Toby. Dr. Toby will sort him out. And they brought the boy. And the boy was really terrible. Was really terrible. Our home should be the last bus stop. If somebody comes into your house and is not changed, is not encountered the Lord, there is no hope for that boy or that girl. That's why we must be patient with them. Don't be too quick to drive anybody away from your house. Because when you drive them, there might not be hope for them anymore. Your house is a special house. It's a place of refuge. It's not an ordinary homo. Any toti momia, toti jonja, toti susinile. Toba tun kuro. Lie kanta olorun. Kosire ti fuma. That's why you must be very, very patient. So God talked to us greatly in that direction in the morning. We saw Abraham, God demanded for Isaac burnt offering. The best son, the only son from his loins. The legal son, God said, sacrifice him. Abraham did not withhold Isaac. And finally, we saw the nearer kinsman in the book of Ruth, who is called to raise children in another man's name, to train people in another man's name who will not bear his name. The nearer kinsman said, I'm sorry. Mi fe se wadanu. That was the time Boaz took over. Today you are hearing Boaz because of that work that Boaz did.
Otherwise, there was nothing about Boaz.
So where we are talking about the genealogy of Jesus today, you will mention Boaz. Is that not so? Because he agreed to jeopardize his inheritance. But with this demand that God is bringing before us, what is the preparation that we need to make? And that's what I'm going to share with you before we pray. With this higher call to a higher service, with this call to a burnt offering, with this call, you know, to leave our place of comfort, how do we do it? How do we move to a higher level that God will taste this, you know, this sweet smell, this savory meat, and he will release his blessing. You know, there are some services you render unto God that God blesses you automatically. Even as human beings, there are some services you render and you will bless that person. There are some services your wife render to you and spontaneously you pray for her. And you say, alone, the Lord will honor you among women. Yes. There are some services, peculiar services like that. The same thing. When God sees some peculiar services, God cannot do but smell it. And God releases his grace. But what is our own preparation? The preparation is the tea that God has given us for this month. Waiting. Waiting on the Lord. But I'm going to talk about a new dimension of waiting. I will change that waiting a little bit. It's still waiting. But I will call it traveling. Traveling in God's presence. When you ask a child of God to wait, you are not just asking him to be waiting and sitting down. No. He's traveling. He's in the spirit. Traveling in prayers. Because God, you have said this, I believe you, I am waiting until you will bring it. But waiting goes with traveling. It goes with a lot of things. That's why we are going to look at the passage and then we shall pray. Because God has spoken. I told you yesterday and in the morning, go and find out what is the savory meat God is demanding from you. As far as God is concerned, he has given you all the training you need. You have what it takes. That's why he said, take your weapons. Do what I want you to do. You are to act. That is the level where we are now, by his grace. To act and give God that savory meat. But while we are waiting, how do we wait? Let's open our Bible to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. Because of time, I will read from verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose and a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Don't forget that the situation in that place, it's a long story, if you read, start reading from chapter 17 and 18, there has been famine, because Elijah said, until you people know God, there will be no rain. So there were 3.5 years of dryness, no single rain. Eventually, God told Elijah, go and reveal yourself to Ahab. There is rain will come. So when Elijah got there, he said, now, we have been arguing with ourselves for several years. Let's test whose God is alive. If it is your God, let's call down fire. The God that answered by fire is the real God. And they all agreed. You remember the story? They fixed a date. And on that day, so many, many things happened. The prophet of Baal did everything. Fire did not come down. And Elijah stepped in. And he called down, and fire came. And everybody said, ah, this is great. This is mighty. The Lord is God. And Elijah said they should slaughter all the prophets of Baal. To you, you would have thought that that's a miracle. That is great. But do you know, it was not fire they are looking for. In that land. What are they looking for? It's rain, no? You need to know what God wants you to do at a particular time. We will continue to thank God for miracles, but you must ask for the correct thing that people need. There are frivolous. God is not a magician. But if you want God to do magic for you, you may have it, but magic is not the solution. They saw fire, and they said, God is great, God is great. But fire does not turn into rain, they are still hungry. There was still famine. So, Elijah told God, he said, but there is no rain yet. God said, don't worry, there will be war, there will be rain. Listen to me very well. He heard God clearly. There will be rain. There is traveling to bring the purpose of God to come to pass in your life. Are you hearing me? There is traveling to bring the counsel of God to pass. There is need for travel. Whatever it is that God has said concerning you, you need to travel for you to be able to bring it to pass. We don't talk much about this, especially many of us that are Bible scholars. And faith men, we don't believe that God has promised, because God has promised, God will do it at his own right time. I used to be in that camp before, but for a very long time, I knew that God may say some things about you, but you need to pray it into action. Even Jesus, do you know, Jesus, I've just finished talking to you about, he came to the earth to do what? To die for us. He knew there were prophecies. But when he came, do you know Gethsemane was there? What did he go to do Gethsemane? He went to travel. It was the travel in Gethsemane where he agreed. And said, Lord, let your counsel come to pass. Otherwise, he might have dodged it. Yeah. There is need for traveling. As God is demanding for his every meat, as God is demanding for an unusual service, you need to hold on to God and say, Father, equip me, send me. And you must keep on praying. Hold on to God until God give you the details and the mix of doing it. Otherwise, you will tarry longer than necessary and the purpose will be defeated. We saw Esau. Esau went and went and went. Before he came back, Jacob had taken over. And there was nothing he could do. But that will not be a portion in the name of Jesus. Now, I like demonstrating this passage. God has already told Elijah. He has announced it. He said, go. He told the king. He told everybody. But he has announced it. And everybody, they believe because they saw fire. They say, rain will follow. Everybody has gone to the house. They were already celebrating. They say, rain will fall today. Who says so? Elijah says so. Who says so? But while they were celebrating, and while Elijah has announced, where did Elijah went to? Onto Mount Carmel.
this year 2021, you must learn to go to Mount Carmel on your own for what God is saying concerning you. You must withdraw to Mount Carmel by His grace and by His mercy.
Now, I want a brother to come out, to come and demonstrate for me here. In that verse, Ahab went up, I think in verse 42, yes. So, Ahab went up to call, to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. I want a brother, a volunteer brother. Yeah, you can come. So you can climb there so that people will see you very well. Come here. Now, listen to the instruction. Face the audience. So you will do exactly what Elijah did. He said, But Elijah climbed to the top of the camel. You are on the top of camel now. Bend down to the ground. That is the next thing. He bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Sir, can you do that? And let's see it. No, I'm reading the Bible. I'm not the one that wrote it. So I just want you to show us what we are talking about here. Is that what they are saying? Uh-huh. Do what they are saying. Do it. What's your name, brother? Is that what they said? Uh-huh. Do it. Just do it. They said he bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Are you a Yoruba brother? Edeba waka Yoruba Bible. But your English, yo, you want that. But your English, yo, you want that. So, demonstrating, we are waiting on you. It was Anduro Day. Eh? It's not possible. It's possible. Try. I want you to try. You want to come and help? I thought you want to come and help him. Yes? Okay, our brother wants to come and try. Let's clap for him. Bend down to the ground and put your face between your knees. Did we see? Please take the picture. Take the picture. I want you to take the picture of this brother. Take the picture. Can you see he's shaking? Is it comfortable? It's not. Can you? The body's already shaking. Can we stand up to clap for him? I think I want a standing ovation for him. Let's clap for him. Yes. Brothers and sisters, sincerely speaking, it looks like a joke, but this is the assignment for us this year. This is what God is demanding. If we want situations to change, the purpose of God to come and pass in your life, there is need for traveling. I only using that, even the posture was not comfortable. You can see it was already shaking. Hey, Josa, that condition, can he sleep like that? It's not possible. So when you are praying and you are sleeping, oh, Timon Katun Sheo, don't know what you are doing. Don't know what you are doing. So this has the Lord is saying, wait. This is the type of waiting God is talking about. It's a travail. Waiting in his presence. Holding on to the Lord. Saying, God, this is what you have said. This is what you said that I should bring to you. Except you do it in me. There is no way I can do it. You must send your grace. You must send your mercy. And what he did, if you read that passage, there were 7 sections. Each of those sections, we don't know whether it is 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. Elijah remains there. If we ask the son, go and check again. The 4th time, say, nothing. The heaven is dry. He continue again. The 2nd time. He said, go and check again. He said, sir, I have gone, there is nothing. The 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th. It was after the 7th, I said, I can see a little cloud. Brothers and sisters, the deliverance of our nation is in our hand. The deliverance of our family is in our hands. The deliverance of those around you are in your hand, but you must be ready to travel. It's part of the savory meat. Go outside yourself. Begin to travel for others. The Bible says, Jesus, look at the agony he went through. That's where his products. So as the Lord is saying, and saying, give me a savory meat, a selfless service. You are entering into that. Elijah was doing it not because he needed water for himself. He needed water for the community. A time has come. God is beaming in such light on this church. The name of this church, Lighthouse, have you? Lighthouse International Christian. It's a lighthouse. And it will be a lighthouse indeed in the name of Jesus. From here, deliverance will come to our generation in the name of Jesus. Deliverance will come to the youth. It will come to women. It will come to families in the name of Jesus. But we must be ready to travel. Can we talk to the Lord and say, Father, thank you for your word.
You have just listened to the Word of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the Word to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.